There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along and easy to get in touch with us. And go ahead and get this this phone number ready. Okay, and it's the phone number and the text line. I'll explain here in a second. Let's get this part done. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. But coming up sometime between now and 2 o'clock, when we wrap up the show and Paul Feinbaum takes over, I've got a family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms and Outdoor Wildlife Expo. That's coming up September 11th through the 13th at the grounds. And you'll have a chance to win that four-pack of tickets sometime between now and 2 o'clock when I, you know, say, hey, I'm not saying it right now, but at that point, I'll say, hey, be, you know, call or whatever. I'll come up with the number. And you'll call, not text. You'll call, and then Leanna will award you the prize, all right, if you're the right number caller. So that's coming up. So just go ahead and see, it's interesting. 30 years of doing this for a living, I used to do this in music radio all the time. I'd say, all right, we're giving away tickets to whatever. All the phone lines, because you know, we have multiple rollover phone lines that go as people like make it their last call. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and call it on their phone so that would be ready to go on the immediately when the contest came on. A little different today. You can just have the contact number there, but back in the day, people pick up their... It's how old I am. People picked up their, whatever, the trim line phone and would dial the radio station number, then hang up real fast. Just have it ready. All right. Also coming up here in just a little bit, Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins us. So we'll talk with her. A couple of stories up on 1819 News I want to talk about with Erica. In addition, J.J. McCool from Wildlife Solutions is going to join me in hour number two. You hear all the discussion about living shorelines. We've talked about the legislation around living shorelines. Let's talk to somebody who puts them in. And what that looks like. So we'll have that conversation coming up in the second hour of Midday Mobile. And a lot more to get into, but as often, because I want to get to flock cameras and all this stuff here, but I get distracted by listening to our national news that plays before the show starts. And often it'll be that tennis ball thrown that I go chase. Thought this was interesting. They talk about the interest rates right now, right? Where they are from last year to this year. 6.9%? And I started thinking about that. And what a good one. Over the years when I was buying new homes, building a new home and then financing it and then buying homes that were currently built and what my interest rates were, it was highway robbery. I mean, to my benefit, right? I was the robber. I remember my parents saying, you know, basically, boy, you don't know how good you got it. Remember, we were getting rates that were, you'd be like, I don't know, man. 3.5 seems too high. I need to shop around. I get a 2.6, right? Remember those days? If I do this, that, and the other, you know, I can get it below 3, maybe. Well, think about this. And now we're dealing with, you know, 6 to 7% mortgage rates. So I did a little pull here and said decade by decade average of interest rates, to put everything in perspective, right? Believe me, I was somebody who benefited from interest rates in under 3%. But let's go back to the 1970s, all right, everybody? Getting that 1970 Corvette. You know, go ahead and take out the panels, take the, you get a little wind in your air. Let's go riding down the road. We're listening to Zeppelin, probably something, Kashmir. We've got Kashmir going on the hi-fi that we put the 8-track tape in. And 1970s interest rate, 1972, great year, I was born, was at 7.38%. It's a mortgage rate, right? Average, 7.38%. Climbed to 11.20% by 1979 with the inflation of acceleration of inflation, right? Remember that. So in 1972, it's 7.38%. 7 years later, it's 11%, over 11%. Okay, so pretty darn big climb there. But as a ratio, it's, you know, a lot. But think about this. What did you pay? Did you pay, were you in the twos or in the threes? Now we're in the sixes. That's a tripling, right? So even that inflation in the 70s that caused those interest rates to rise so quickly was not near what it has happened here in 2000s. Okay, so we get to the 1980s. Now we're going to go ahead and put some product in your hair and you're going to, what are we going to drive? 380Z? We're in a Z car? What was the Mazda? Remember the Mazda sports car? We're in the Mazda sports car, something like that. Slick back. Maybe you have the Miami Vice theme by Jan Hammer playing in the background. Whatever. Okay, you're cruising down the road there. You're going to go check out. You can go meet with your mortgage people. You can get this house, right? This 1980s house. In the 1980s, not 80, 81, the average high, the annual average high for interest rate in the 1980s, 16.64%. That's 1981. With individually monthly spikes going over 18%. Remember my parents talking about that. They were, 14, 15% on homes back then. Slowly retreated to 10.25% by 1989. So you went from, if you go from 1972 to 1981, so, you know, by my math, we're talking about a decade here. It goes from 7.38% to average 16.64%. Still not tripled, though, right? A heck of an increase, but still not tripled. 1990s, here we go. It's the 90s. You got, you know, rare cuts from Nirvana on, and you're riding around in a... You're in a Toyota Tacoma by then, right? Yeah, one of the early ones with the little extra cabin, not the full four-door. Okay, you're in that. You cruise around, listen to Nirvana. Interest rates go down, thank God, from as high as 16.64% to 9.09%. 1991, good year, 6.91%. And it was 9.09% in 91. By 98, it went down to 6.91%. So there we go. We're now back from 1972, where 7.38%. We've now got ourselves back underneath that in 1998. It took that long to get the interest rates for mortgage down there. All right, so we arrive in the 2000s. What are we listening to in the 2000s? Let me give you a suggestion. Dalton, what would we be listening to in the 2000s? I mean, I was programming, you know, music heavily at that point, but I don't know what. What's our brand there in the 2000s we're listening to? Fill in the blank there. I'll leave that one open. 2000s arrive, hovered between 5.38% and as much as 8.08% in the 2000s. Okay, stayed about 6% average for that decade. So we're very close to that number back where we were in 1972. Then this thing happens in the 2010s, the bottom drops out of it. Yeah, you're right. My buddy just said Garth Brooks. You're listening to Garth Brooks, and you're in a Chevy now. You're a Chevy. You got a bigger trunk. You're listening to Garth Brooks. You've now gone for the all hat, no cattle look. I know you guys. So that's your Garth Brooks in it. So there you go. In the 2000s. You're averaging about 6%. 2010s come along, and what happens? It goes to the lowest number we've seen since, 1970s that we're looking at and on. So average 3.65 to 4.8%. That is in the 2010s. Okay, that is fantastic. I'm in that mix in the, I guess, 2010s. Yeah, I'm getting into buying houses at that point. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is what it is, right? This is what it is. This is what you pay for an interest rate. And once again, my parents going, boy, you don't know how good you have it. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Then we arrive in the 2020s. You thought it couldn't get better, but it did. Hit an unprecedented low of 2.96% in 2021 due to pandemic monetary policies. It's the COVID drop, right? Under 3%. A mortgage rate. Now, mind you, since back in our time machine, we're going the way back machine, 7.38% in 1972. Remember, we had gone as high as a monthly spike of over 18% in the 1980s, and now we're sub 3%. But think about how fast that changed. So year in 2021, you're paying 2.96%. By 2023, it doubles, it more than doubles to 7%, and then settle in here at 6.28% average, which puts us right back to where we were in the 1990s and the early part of the 2000s. I just thought it was interesting as you look at the rates, where we are and where we've been. What's the best rate you ever got? I'm seeing some, yes, thank you, the Mazda RX-7. And the 280ZX. That's for old school reel to reel. Now we're talking. We get these mortgage rates. We got a bunch of other news, but I thought it was worth taking our time to go through what the mortgage rates have been since I was born to today.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1221 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Remember, the phone number and the text line are the same, but the phone number is going to be important today to win that family four-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo, 251-343-0106. So keep it handy. At some point coming up, your chance to win. All right, let me grab some text, and then we can get into budgets and monkeys. Coming up on the show. All right, to the text line here. Yeah, we're talking about those interest rates. I just thought it was kind of stood out, this big journey we've gone through in mortgage rates, right? So start in 1972, end up in 2026, and how close those numbers are now, but all the places we've been in between. Before we get to those, from Nick B., said we should sell naming rights for the bridge on a monthly or yearly basis to offset the tolls for Mobile and Baldwin County citizens. I can see it now. The Regions Bank Bridge, the Airbus Airway Bridge. Well, that's pretty good there, Nick B. The David J. Maloney, I will personally return your call bridge. I like the idea of rotating banners on there. I do. You could get, right, because people only have so much budget for naming bridges after their companies or sales. So you get three people or four entities, whatever, to rotate through, they probably make more money. Nick, you're on to something. Yeah, good point. We could have probably driven the Toyota Supra. That was good. RX-7, 280ZX. Let's see, converting before I buy my next house. Oh, this person says, it says Jewish and Muslim people get 0% loans, and then they get loan protection backed up by HUD. Look it up. Well, why don't you look it up? Send me the link. Save me a little time here, because it seems bogus to me. But, hey, you could prove me wrong. You know, if I'm wrong, then I'll say I'm wrong. Joe says, I remember it well. Built a house in Theodore in 1984. 11.7% bond money for the first-time buyer. 6% is peanuts. Yeah, Joe, can you – my parents, same time, 1980s. And I remember when I – one of the houses got – I was like 2.96, somewhere in there. Because I was – no, that's what it was, because I had a 4, and then I refi, and got to a 2.96. And they said, do you realize how lucky you have it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then they get a big lecture of what they paid in interest rates. You think about, we're talking about the sizes of houses back then versus sizes of houses now, although I think we're probably coming full circle. It took a lot more money to finance that bigger house back then, didn't it? Michael says, I'm still sitting at 2.72%, but first house was 7%-ish in 06. Fire Dog, my parents bought a home in 1976 when I was four. Oh, yeah, we are the same age, aren't we? Parents bought a home in 1976 when I was four. We were living in base housing before that. They got a really good deal at 9.6% interest rate because my father was in the military. I don't remember what the brownstone was in Maryland back in the early 2000s. I do remember we got 5% in 2015 on both the houses we bought. We refinanced in 2021 at 3% and one at 2.8% on the other. David from Dolphin Island, which good to see you yesterday, said my son's first house in Dallas, 2.625%. I mean, here's the problem. When you enter stuff, we get this idea how stuff should look, how stuff should be. You know, Bill Finch has a great conversation. Call him up on Sunday and ask him about the great live oaks that line our streets in downtown Mobile. And you picture this idea that the live oaks, they've been there forever. Well, first of all, they actually are not as old as a lot of people think. But that's not what lined our streets in Mobile. And Bill's got the pictures. He got what the kids say. He's got the receipts to show it. We had palm trees, like southern palms, not like, don't think luau, think like Florida, scrub country. Palm trees growing in downtown. We weren't like, so, but we picture, no, it must have always been that way. We can picture the old days of Mobile and the, So it's just what you come into is what you think is, and same thing with the interest rates, right? So I think it's worth taking that little trip through what happened. But look at the inflationary pressures we have today. And go back to the 70s where there's strong inflationary pressures. And look at the rise as a percentage. I think it's pretty interesting how they track. Okay, texter said, I think it should be the I-1065 bridge. Yeah, well, I just got to get the money together for that. You know, it is interesting that ends up in, no, the FCC did not let me pick out the frequency that we put the station on. It was a frequency that was available. But yes, it is 10 and 65 in our frequency. Ooh, you ever thought about that? I-10, I-65 in the... All right. I know the big story probably most people want to talk about, the budget for the city and the budget that came out yesterday from Mayor Chirigatis. Most fun part I had in the budget was tracking through the flow chart of who reports to whom. Did y'all see that? It's kind of fun. We might get to that later on the show. But the monkey story, because, well, I have a personal attachment to this story, because this what you'll see over at lanyapmobile.com, the story Monkey Businesses Clash Over Signage. Well, this picture right here is taken by somebody very close to me, and it's the picture that's included in the story, and this is out by the house, out near, well, this is actually at Snow and Airport. The story says two area tree trimming companies are at war, and the battle is played out on local utility poles. Signs for Tree Monkey tree trimming and Monkey Man tree trimming have appeared in various parts of the county, including one instance in West Mobile, that's by my house, where one of the company ads appears to be overlaid with the bold thief label. While one of the owners acknowledged the feud, he says there's little recourse as tacking posters to poles along rights of way is prohibited in the first place. But let me point out that both people in this have their signs posted to the utility pole. So you can't, I mean, the offended party is also on the utility pole. So the story from Scott Johnson. So he gets the quote here. The guy who, he says, identifies himself as Matthew says, there seems to be someone who kind of copied my name, Monkey Man Tree Trimming or something, said Matthew. He said, yeah, they seem to actually be putting thief on all our signs out there, end quote. Matthew claimed Tree Monkey, I'm letting you laugh for a second. Tree Monkey has been in business for about 7 years and now relies more heavily on word of mouth than roadside signs. When the mark signs are reported to the company, he said Tree Monkey usually removes them rather than escalating the dispute. He said law enforcement has declined to get involved. Matthew went on to say, as they come up and we see them, we've honestly just been taking them down. We have talked to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, but obviously he said, you know, our signs technically shouldn't be up on the poles themselves anyway, so there's nothing they can really do about it. Because, end quote, posters and signs are generally prohibited from electrical poles in Alabama. That doesn't stop them, but says not only does Mobile Municipal Code prohibit signs of any kind attached to public utility poles, but Mobile County bars private signs from county rights of way, and Alabama Public Service Commission rules prohibit regulated utilities from allowing posters on their poles. Get time later on in the show. We'll get to the other parts of the story here. There's two tree trimming businesses that have monkey in their name, and they're going at it here in our county. And I think it probably should be the lead story tonight on every TV station. If y'all are listening right now, run that.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. My friend Erica Thomas from 1819news.com joining us now, and we'll get to the biggest news stories of the day. That's probably fishing. Erica and I were just spending our time talking fishing. Did you look, I mean, we were talking snapper fishing too that y'all did the other day. You see the marine forecast for tomorrow and Sunday?
Oh, I haven't.
It's laid out.
I just don't pay attention to that. I just go anyways.
It's a... Well, we always say, it's going to be a mill pond out there. I don't know. I mean, that's what they're saying right now, 1 foot or less. Uh-oh. So I'm just...
I'm sure you'll have to talk to the experts about that and see what we have looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, no, that's what Dr. Bill says. 1 foot or less tomorrow and I think today is actually super good, too, but tomorrow and Sunday. To the point that I think I can get my son to go. I think it's good enough that, you know, because he's not going to study it if it's not slick. And I'm about to start the campaign with him when I get home. So, all right, it's going to be beautiful. We're going.
That's funny. Just tell him there's a jubilee and maybe he'll go.
He doesn't. You know, you and I have talked about this privately. God has a heck of a sense of humor. For everybody, they don't know this probably, but and my daughter, some would fish. My son does not care. I mean, he'll go catch a fish and then he's just... Okay, we're going to do news in a second, y'all. But, I mean, he goes, tell me if this doesn't kill y'all, and you know how I am. He'll go catch a fish, and then I'm like, hey, you ain't, he said, I don't need to keep fishing. Whether it's at the house there catching a bass or, you know, or trout fishing or something, he catches one, and then he wants to chill. And I'm like, but don't you want to catch more of them? He said, no, I caught one, I'm good. I don't understand that. I look at him, I was like, how are you from my loins? I don't know.
I feel like the more I catch, the more I want to fish, but I could really just fish all day and not catch anything and be happy. But before we get to news, I do want to tell this little short story about me and my dad. We always did tournaments together, bass tournaments, and one thing that I am not is a morning person. So we had to get up at 3 a.m. sometimes because our tournaments will be all the way in Georgia, so it's different time zone. And we always had to go by Waffle House on the way, so we would get up super early. So by the time we got on the water, I was tired. And one particular tournament reminds me of that. I went out there. It was the night after prom. And so I was already tired because I'd stayed out late.
You went to prom and then you went fish tournament.
That's right.
Wow, that's hardcore.
I mean, I've even gone fishing with my dad the morning of prom, you know. So
well, beforehand's one thing, but after the big night out and you still got up and fished, good for you.
Well, there's nothing better than spring fishing because you got all them big mamas out there. So, anyways, this one particular time we went to this tournament and I had a blanket. It was cold outside. And I laid in the bottom of the boat, fell asleep, woke up, ate a Pop-Tart, cast my line, caught a big one, went back to sleep. My dad fished the entire tournament and I came home fanning money in my face.
Man. So you catch one and then you go to sleep because your work was done.
That's right. So I did. That is one time where I was like, you know, not too worried about constantly.
Okay, so there's one. So there's one time. So there's one. But all the rest of the time, you want to catch the next fish.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. All right.
I mean, I just my adrenaline gets going, and I just Last week I was on staycation, and I went kayak fishing. And I'm not kidding you, I missed the biggest flounder I've ever seen. I've never seen a flounder this big, and it was, I had it all the way to the kayak, and I was actually reaching down to get it, and it started flip-flopping and got off the hook.
Oh,
I was so disgusted, and I could not stop fishing after that, because I was just like, I will catch it again. I will catch another one like it. There's, you know, but I didn't. But anyways, we probably need to get to the news. I'm sure
I
we're
guess
boring
so.
People.
Well, I don't know. I mean, but, you know, really, it's my show and you're my guest. So, all right. We'll go from fishing to bridges here. And, of course, since you know, you had the story up, it's been a lot of conversation on this station over the last couple of days. The Barrymore proposal to name the not yet built, maybe it will be built one day, I-10 Mobile River Bridge, the gateway to the Gulf of America, the Donald J. Trump Bridge. That story's got probably worn the click button out on it.
Yeah, this one is very interesting because we're looking at this bridge. We're looking at the funding. You know, we've been kind of sitting on pins and needles waiting to see if this is actually going to happen, what's going to happen, what's the toll going to be. Everybody's been focused on that. But this week when Barrymore went to Mobile, he made the announcement that he thinks it should be called, drumroll, the gateway to the Gulf of America, the Donald J. Trump Bridge. So very long name, but that's his proposal. And we're looking at this thinking, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And we're kind of hearing both sides. A lot of people, you know, they think naming it after Donald Trump would help get more attention, maybe more federal funding. Maybe it's a good political move. Other people just love Donald Trump. You know, they'd name anything after him. They've got an airport they're naming after him somewhere, right. You know. And then on the other side of the coin, they say, well, I don't even think Donald Trump would want a toll bridge named after him.
That's true. Okay, I didn't think about that angle.
Yeah. Other people, they are not into the support for Donald Trump and don't understand that purpose. And a lot of people are saying, wait, slow down. No pun intended, but pump the brakes, because we have a lot more to worry about this bridge right now than the actual naming of it.
You know what? I think that's a fair discussion. I mean, it is all icing and no cake. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, we're going to talk about this part. Well, let's build the thing. How about, you know, I'm cynical enough after all these years to go, show me the bridge, and then you can start talking about this stuff.
Yeah, we need to get this going. You know, they are expecting the project to really start taking shape this fall. So hopefully the first phase of the project will get underway. And they're estimating it will only take about 5 years to build that new toll bridge. And it's a cable-stayed toll bridge. They're going to make some interchange improvements. They're going to modify the existing bayway, and they're going to make it 6 lanes of capacity, which we all know will be good.
No, I don't think it's good. I'm sorry, but it's like it's the emperor has new clothes when he has no clothes, because they're going to make it 6 lanes by restriping. I mean, we're not actually adding any. We're just reimagining what a lane looks like. I don't know. Look, it scares me that we're going to all get in wrecks now because everybody's going to be rubbing against trucks. They're going to rub against each other. I don't know.
No, I think more capacity is going to be a great thing. And that's just me and you. We can agree to disagree. I believe, you know, I've been caught in that fast lane behind a slowpoke and not able to get around. So at least this extra lane will give me one extra inch. And when I say slowpoke, I mean, they got to be real slow because I always go the speed limit at least. Maybe I'll go 5 miles over. Oh, yeah, I've never had a speeding ticket because I seriously don't speed that much. I'm usually the annoying one. So if I need to get over in that fast lane to pass somebody, they are going way too slow. And one thing that just really irks me is somebody going slow in the passing lane. So hopefully
I agree with
now
that.
We'll have an extra lane.
I agree with that. All right.
I mean, that's an interesting topic, you know, things that really drive you crazy when you're on the road.
The slow in the left lane thing, but my problem is, just, you know, we're going to end up bleeding through all the time, but that's fine, is they're not adding, it's the bayway as it is, we're just restriping it. And I don't know if we're going to lose the emergency lanes, because that's important. Somebody gets a wreck in the middle of the bayway, you have to get emergency vehicles out there. If you restripe it, you don't add any space to it, you're just reimagining where the lanes, I don't know how they're, maybe they take just one of the emergency lanes. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do this and still have the ability to get a tow truck out there and all that.
Well, just trust the process.
I don't. We'll see. I don't. That's my problem, I guess.
Trust the government, Sean.
Yeah, you hadn't been listening to me long enough, I guess. Okay. But that's but that conversation is going to be going on for quite some time. But, yeah, we have people all the different ideas for names out there. I'm sure y'all are getting them at 1819.
I've heard some really good ideas. Like, one of them was name it the One Big Beautiful Bridge.
There you go.
That's easier to say.
Yeah. How about the Jimmy Buffett Bridge?
I heard that idea, too. Was that Chris Elliott that said that?
Well, he said it, but, I mean, he and the, I mean, I'm not saying who was the first one to say it, but I don't know that he was the first. But, yeah, he's on board with that. He was just on Jeff's show talking about that.
Yeah, I think that's all right. I think there are a lot of options, but most of all, there's a lot of time. I think it would be really cool if they kind of opened this naming thing up eventually to the public, kind of, you know, like an online survey.
Oh, so we get Bodie McBoatface out of it? Or?
Well, that would be great.
Remember that when they let them name the boat and it would be Bridgie McBridgeface or something like that?
Yeah. Maybe they could just put a bunch of flock cameras on it and call it the flock.
There we go. Have the flock camera people pay for it, or the data center bridge.
Yes.
Okay.
We have ideas.
Yes, we do have ideas. This is a sad story. I didn't know the guy, but have absolutely consumed the product in the past. And it seemed like Back 40 was one of the early, I don't know, but it seemed like one of the early brands were Alabama-made beers out there. Guys from, you know, they're up in Gadsden, not from around here, but I like Alabama stuff. You know, that's kind of how I am. And so I started paying attention to their beer, too. Back 40 Beer Company, the founders died, and really young.
Yes, this is very sad. Jason Wilson, he was only 46 years old, and, you know, being from Birmingham, or I moved here from Birmingham, I was very familiar with Back 40 Beer Company. They had a brewery in Birmingham, but they started in Gadsden. They also have one in Huntsville, but Gadsden was really where it got its start. And Jason Wilson was one of the first. I mean, there was only two.
Okay,
places.
So I was right. He was one, because I remember it just seeming like he was early in.
Yeah, he was actually a pioneer in bringing and making it possible to produce and sell high alcohol content beer.
Yep.
In Alabama.
Back during the hops debate. Remember that? Of course, the days of the show opener where you hear Alvin Bell talking about what's wrong with the beer we got, the Free the Hops debate, he was part of that.
Free the Hops, yeah. Jason Wilson started that. And it's called High Gravity Beer. Sorry,
yeah.
I am not familiar with all the beer terms, but
I was letting
familiar.
You fill in. I didn't want to just say it, yeah.
Yeah, this is saying a lot, though. I know all about this beer, and I don't even drink beer. So, I mean, that's a big deal, like, in Birmingham, across the state. But, yeah, back in 2008, Jason Wilson went and visited his brother up in Colorado, and they went to a brewery, and he came back home with this idea, and then he found out that the state law didn't allow that high gravity beer, which meant, you know, it really put a stop on a lot of these craft brew type places. So he went to the legislature and talked that conservative base into allowing some change so that Alabama could really open up this craft brewery industry. And it worked. I mean, and he just came from Auburn. He had a job and was doing his thing, but he didn't have a lot of money. He didn't have enough money to start definitely a brewery. So he recruited a bunch of small investors, including some of the fraternity brothers at Auburn. And they all put their money together. Some of them even worked with him. They lobbied in Montgomery, got the laws changed, and if not for him, our state would not see what we have now, which in the larger cities, Huntsville, Birmingham, Mobile, I mean, there's a huge market for craft beer. And not only is it impacting and adding jobs in Alabama, but these beers from Back 40, they are sold all across the nation. So, I mean, this guy was truly an icon and a legend in Alabama's beer world.
And we'll talk about this probably in the future, but I spent a lot of time back during the Free the Hops debate. It was a lot. There was, I mean, to the point, it's still, like I said, part of the show intro of this show, the groups that lined up to fight craft beer here and the reasons they came up with were just comical. I mean, it was, you were talking about Alabama politics showing itself. It happened during that. The money groups got behind and bought certain legislators, and then they get up and try to make a reason why we shouldn't have craft beer here. It was comical.
Well, yeah, and Jason Wilson was part of that. So I have the story on 1819news.com, but this weekend we'll have a much bigger story. One of the former CEOs that worked with Jason Wilson at Back 40, his name's Hatton Smith, and I've known him for years. I sat and talked with him today, and he kind of gave me a background on the changes that Jason Wilson fought for in Alabama and kind of how important his role was in this whole thing. And so over the weekend, we'll have another story on Jason Wilson, and you'll kind of get to see an inside look at who he worked with and the differences he made in their lives. You know, he was really young, and some of the people that he worked with were old enough to be his father, but he inspired these people, not only these people, but all of the people that worked for him. He had another brewery in Anniston. I mean, he did so much in this state, and he's just really being remembered. He was also a Gadsden city councilman. So, I mean, you know, he loved the state, he loved Gadsden, and he really wanted to make a positive difference. And his words before he passed away were very inspiring. Knowing that he was facing this illness that would likely take his life, he had a message for people, and you can go see that now on 1819news.com.
And that is called A Tease, y'all, and check that out. And also, if they want to reach out to you about a story you've written or something they're seeing, how do they get in touch with you? How do they email you?
You can email me directly. It's erica.thomas@1819news.com. And you can subscribe to our newsletter on 1819news.com and get an email every day with our top stories.
Okay. I'm going to have a truck stop Honey Brown Ale this weekend in remembrance and read that story. Now, Erica, awesome. Thanks for your time. Go back, catch some fish, and we'll talk next week.
Thank you. God bless.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:54 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number is important for you to know, well, right now, at 251-343-0106. Looking for caller number 6. Got a family 4-pack of tickets to the G&D Farms Outdoor and Wildlife Expo. This is going on September 11th through the 13th, right? So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'll be doing the midday show out there on Friday, the outdoor show out there on Saturday, and probably just kicking it with y'all on Sunday. So once again, caller number 6, 251-343-0106, and good luck. Let me get some text here. That's good. Do I go far enough back? Let's see. Jim in Georgetown said, don't forget a 10% loan for a house or a car in the mid-60s, mid-70s was nothing like 10% now. My folks just had their third child and decided the 2-bed, 1-bath house wasn't going to be enough. So Dad bought a 5-acre farm in 72. House, cow barn, corn crib, machine shop for $17,000. So for under $20,000, Dad got enough room for 3 feral boys to grow up right. And also said, and don't tell folks to ask Bill about Live Oaks. Oy, it'll never end. Oh, we got some people complaining about that too, Jim, in a second. Hold on. Brandon asking about the core, talking about the thin layer placement and the campaign they've got going on out there saying it's a good thing. I have seen it. We're going to talk more about that on Monday's show. So, unnamed texter says, bank on myself through insurance paid 4%, 3% paid back to me. Dan says, I'm sure Bill has pictures with palms, but there are plenty from the late 19th century with large live oaks. Several other species were used as well. Please quit telling people palms were the norm. Man, well, I'm telling you what Bill says. So I'll keep saying what Bill says. You can disagree with Bill. I'm just saying what Bill said. I wasn't there. Ultra Runner. Yeah, I still hadn't gotten anything back. Ultra Runner says, the texter impugning Jewish organizations for providing 0% interest rate to their neighbors failed to mention that they give these loans to people of all faiths or no faith at all. Imagine doing charity work, but because you're Jewish, it's misrepresented as nefarious. Yeah, I was waiting for the person to send me something back showing the documentation, but thank you, Ultra Runner. Yeah, it made me kind of give pause. Michael says, I remember being stuck on the westbound bayway for 4.5 hours when I got caught behind an RV that caught fire. Just doing a striping job isn't going to help. I bet it makes it 100% worse. I wish they would just have a press conference and show me. I don't want to just be negative. Show me how it's going to work. If the bayway's not going to physically be any wider, but we're going to restripe it, are we taking one of the emergency lanes out and making how's that going to, I mean, is it going to work? Maybe. Give me the width of the lanes now and what the width of the three lanes will be in the future, and will we have an emergency lane? That's just, I think it's normal questions. Let's see. David in Fairhope. Sean, is it true that the funding for the bridge was awarded in 2024 in the Biden administration, but Moore and Tubby voted against it, and now Moore wants to name it after Trump? Help it make sense. I don't have to go back. A lot of times what will happen is you'll have a bill that has other stuff in it that you can't vote for, but it has the candy in there too. I'd have to go break that apart, because that you'll hear that in a lot of these, you know, PAC ads that go after candidates and say they voted against so-and-so. But if you go look at the bill, it's because there was something else in there. It's I don't know that that's the case here, but I will do a little digging into it. A lot of times you'll hear somebody say something, hey, they voted against it. And then you go, well, actually, it was a bill that was full of a bunch of other crap, and that's why they did. Daphne Leatherneck, it's magically going to work, just like flock cameras are not warrantless surveillance program. What, the striping? Take two lanes, make them three. Unnamed texter. If state troopers give all the people from Texas and Florida that ride in the left lanes tickets for impeding traffic, the bridge would be paid off by next Friday. And Meta has a $1 billion slush fund to pay for local projects. Why has nobody called Meta to fund the bridge? Maybe they have. I don't know. But we'll send that to Montgomery, see if they can do it. And yeah, Roy in Spanish Ford said, the glory days of Free the Hops. Weren't those the days? Remember those days? Man, I do.